Do you know someone who's warm-hearted? And if so, what is he or she like? What qualities do they exude? What does it mean to be warm-hearted? And why is warm-heartedness so critical to loving each other? This is Dave Fleming, Senior Leader at Aldea Spiritual Community. Welcome to the fourth and final podcast of our series, Ripples of Love. Ripples of Love. How love ripples from one person to the next, from one idea to the next, from an individual to a collective. We've explored that the path of love is lined by courage and vulnerability, that healthy attachment allows for relationships to flourish and for love to be found. We also looked at loving unlovable people and realized that it really may be more about us than about them when we reach to love one who seems unlovable to us. And today, as we finish this Aldea Explores series, we're considering warm-heartedness. Why this quality of warm-heartedness, of open-handed and heartedness to another and to another group different than my own, opens the possibility of power, not just love from one to another, but the power to actually create what's needed in the world. Pierre Desjardins, who was a physicist and a Catholic priest in the 20th century, wrote these words. Listen from a contemplative space. Our duty as men and women is to proceed as if limits to our ability did not exist. We are collaborators in creation. We are one, after all, you and I. Together we suffer, together exist, and forever will recreate each other. Remain true to yourself, but move ever upward toward greater consciousness and greater love. At the summit, you will find yourselves united with all those who, from every direction, have made the same ascent. Love is an adventure and a conquest. It survives and develops, like the universe itself, only by perpetual discovery. Love alone is capable of uniting living beings in such a way as to complete and fulfill them, for it alone takes them and joins them by what is deepest in themselves. Love is the affinity which links and draws together the elements of the world. Love, in fact, is the agent of universal synthesis. Quite a powerful and bold vision for humanity. To love each other in a way that opens a space for creative collaboration, or as we often say today, to be co-creators of the future, of the emerging future. We desperately need to hear the words of Desjardins in this day and age, where so much division stops the ripple of love. And at the heart of that resistance to love is the lack of warm-heartedness. Warm-heartedness, this genuine openness to another, is what allows not only love to flourish, but our endeavors in life to flourish. If we are not united by something common and a love that motivates and animates our work, our lives, we are indeed lost. And the door, the opening to that kind of love, that kind of co-creation, is warm-heartedness. Think again of a person you know who's warm-hearted. Can you think of how they bring that warm-heartedness to the surface and how it evokes something in you? Here are three actions we can all take to better practice warm-heartedness. And at the core of warm-heartedness is then the ability to gather, to rally together around something bigger than each of us individually. But we can't open that door to a common, wondrous mission together in the world until first we open our hearts through warm-heartedness. First, to be warm-hearted means to embody what the other needs to feel safe. When we're warm-hearted, we are what I call ease makers. We put people at ease. We make space for them in a way that puts them at ease. No creative endeavor can be done if we are in threat or anxiety or conflict to a point where we cannot even hear each other, do not want to be in the same room with each other. We first must feel safe with each other. And warm-heartedness at its core brings an ease to the situation, an ease to the moment, because a warm-hearted person is reading what the other needs and then supplying that in some form. That's what it means to embody what another needs. It means to read what is needed. It means to supply what is needed. Think of a time when someone has been dysregulated, upset in front of you, and perhaps it's evoked out of you a frustration or an anger. Rather than thinking, how can I put this person at ease? I see their dysregulation as an infringement upon my own security, my own needs. And then what do we have? Well, we have this dance of dysregulation. But warm-hearted people are able, because of their ego strength and their mindfulness and their ability to put their ego aside, they can focus in a moment on another person and supply what that person needs. Sometimes we need a quiet, calm voice, the metaphorical arm around our shoulder to simply be with us. At other times, we may need a kick in the butt. At other times, we just may need to know someone has our back. At other times, we may need someone who will just simply listen to us. But what warm-hearted people do is make space. They make space for another to feel safe. If we are going to create a better future as humanity, we first have to create a safer space and place to explore that together. This is no mere sentimentality. This is right at the heart of executing a vision together for a better world. We must first feel safe together. We must first be warm-hearted and open to another, even if we don't agree with them. Thomas Merton, Catholic priest in the 20th century, who was such a powerful voice for social justice and love, wrote, "What we are asked to do is love. And this love itself will render both ourselves and our neighbor worthy, if anything can. Indeed, that is one of the most significant things about the power of love. There is no way under the sun to make a man worthy of love except by loving him. As soon as he realizes himself loved, if he is not so weak that he can no longer bear to be loved, he will feel himself instantly becoming worthy of love." There's that open, warm-heartedness that when I extend that to another, it pulls that out of them There are even biological and neurobiological dynamics going on that when we extend a certain attitude, a certain emotion, a certain contagion, a certain open-heartedness to others, there is more of a likelihood that they will respond in kind. This is what Merton is saying. He finishes by saying, "This person now loved will respond by drawing a mysterious spiritual value out of his own depths, a new identity called into being by the love that is addressed to him." Love evokes the power of co-creation. And we first do that by creating a safe place to explore, a safe place to transform, to change. It's not a safe place to retreat and hide and grow more recalcitrant in dysfunctional ways. It's a safe place to confront the realities of life and to do the hard work of changing myself so then we together can bring change to the world. Next, show genuine interest in the other. First, embody what the other needs to feel safe, and then show genuine interest in that person. Have you ever had a conversation with someone where you just know they're not interested? They're, in fact, sometimes they can even visually show you this by looking past you. You're talking to them and you're, quote, in a conversation with them, but they're looking somewhere else. How does that make you feel? To show genuine interest in another person through warm-heartedness is to be other-oriented. That is to discover what he or she cares about. What makes that person tick? What makes that person excited? And then to find a mutual place of caring. We will never fully agree. If you get two people in a room, you can guarantee that there will be disagreement. Heck, sometimes I disagree with myself. But we can find mutual caring points, mutual interest points, and build a better world from those places of mutuality. We are so focused on what divides us today. But I have to start by showing genuine interest in another, even when it is not something that naturally creates that in myself. Can you think of someone who has an interest? I'm even thinking of when my kids were young and they had certain interests that I didn't have and how difficult it was for me to entrain that moment with them and enter it in a way that rhythmically brought us in sync to what they wanted to do. I was always trying to hurry them to something else or not really fully participating in the moment of what brought them joy. Ah, do I wish I could rewind and do some of those moments over. But what it has done, now that my kids are adults, it has taught me through the sting of not finding mutual caring points in the past to doing it now in their adult lives and enjoying what they enjoy, learning about what they learn, and learning about what ignites them and having conversations with them about it and actually seeking their advice around things they're good at that I'm not. Unless we find mutual caring points, unless I'm genuinely interested in you, how will we ever work together? And then finally, add space to love, add space to this love, this warm-hearted place, without monopolizing it. Add to it, add to the space, bring your own voice, bring your own particular perspective, add to the picture, but don't make the picture about you. Bring your dynamic. Bring your voice as part of a collective. But as soon as one voice dominates in an unhealthy way, we lose co-creation. That doesn't mean that sometimes one of us may stand out, may stand up in a particularly unique way to accomplish something, of course. And we love it when people use their voice in powerful ways, but we can never let the power of our voice monopolize or dominate the incredible importance of the collective. It's a dance between what I bring and what we create. Add to the space. Warm-heartedness is not simply always saying, well, what do you think? Well, what do you think? Oh, that's great. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, you're so awesome. That's not warm-heartedness. That's flattery. Warm-heartedness is a deep engagement of two or more minds in making the world a better place. Minds that will not always agree, but will find that mutuality a place from which to create together. Warm-heartedness is transformative. Warm-heartedness is courageous in its willingness to bring its voice to the forefront, but also to surrender it to the whole. Wow. That is powerful. That is powerful. That is attractive. Warm-heartedness is attractive. The Buddha wrote, "One who is wise and disciplined, always kind and intelligent, humble and free from pride, one like this will be praised." Who doesn't want to be around a wise, disciplined, kind, intelligent, humble, free from pride person? Warm-heartedness, openness to evoke something better from the other starts when we embody what will make the other feel safe. Not what will just make me feel safe, but will make them feel safe. And then we become oriented to that person. We show interest in what interests them. We find mutual caring points. And yet we bring our own unique dynamic without it monopolizing. We become part of a picture. Without it, without our part, the picture would not be as robust, as beautiful as it is, but in no way are we drawing attention to the part of the picture that is me or you in a way that diminishes the power of the whole. This is what warm-heartedness brings. Warm-heartedness, the space of warm-heartedness, allows the ripple of love to bring people together to co-create a better future. Be warm-hearted. Practice warm-heartedness this week. This is Dave Fleming, Senior Leader at Aldea Spiritual Community.